We are reading today from the 10th canto, 13th chapter, text 42. Ite te trakutratya manmaya mohite tade tavanta eva tatraptam Vidanto Vishnuna Samam Ita etat kutratyatya Manmaya mohite tare Tavanta eva tatraptyam Vedanto Vishnuna Samam Ite etra kutatya Manmaya mohite tare Tavanta eva tatraptam Vedanto Vishnuna Samam Yes. For this reason, these boys with their calves, Atra, here, Kutratya, where have they come from? Matmaya muhita itare Different from those who were mystified by my illusory potency. Tavanta The same number of boys. Eva Indeed. Tatra There. Abdam for 1 year. Gridanta a plane. Vishnuna saman along with Krishna. Translation. So those who are new to this section of the Bhagavatam, this is Lord Brahma. He had stolen the cowherd boys who were going out with Krishna in the morning and put them in a mystical slumber somewhere in a far away place, and then came back to inspect what had happened now with Krishna. He did all this to test Krishna, to put him into a trying situation and see how would he act, how would he master the situation. So here is Brahma seeing a wonder. He sees that the boys and calves he had just stolen seem to be there. So this is what he says. A similar number of boys and calves have been playing with Krishna for one whole year, yet they are different from the ones illusioned by my mystic potency. Who are they? Where did they come from? Purport. Although appearing like calves, cows, and cowherd boys, these were all Vishnu. Actually, they were Vishnu Tattva, not Jiva Tattva. Brahma was surprised. The original cowherd boys and cows, he thought, are still there. I put them last year. So who is that that is now keeping company with Krishna exactly as before? Where have they all come from? Brahma was surprised that his mystic power had been neglected. Without touching the original cows and cowherd boys kept by Brahma, Krishna had created another assembly of calves and boys who were all expansions of Vishnu Tattva. Thus, Brahma's mystical power was superseded. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shunyavari Paskatyade Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Shri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Panamami Hari Priye Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So my dear devotees, this is what had happened. Krishna had expanded the cowherd boys who had been stolen by Brahma, and the expanded cowherd boys looked so absolutely identical with the original cowherd boys that Brahma, who is well versed in creating species and he knows the subtleties of engineering, genetic engineering, he does something else much more advanced. Brahma could not recognize any difference, but he felt there was something mystical going on which he could not understand. We hear that the cowherd boys were great individual personalities who dressed different, who had different colors of skin, some were green, who had facial expressions. Some were dedicated jokers, they always joked with Krishna. Some were like pandits who could argue the scripture. And they were really different from each other. And they were so playful. And Krishna somehow managed this. Now, to give you a little taste, a little insight in how these cowherd boys were, I would like to quote Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And especially emphasize one quality which Sugar Dev Goswami mentions here of the cowherd boys, which I find extremely charming. It's kridante. They were always playing. There was not a moment when they were not playing. They were always very playful. So this became especially visible when each morning when Krishna left the village of Braj for his cowherding pastimes, Krishna would look back over the shoulder if the Brajvasis, the elderly people, would be still following him like this. And when he came around a bend and went into the forest, and the Brajvasis could no longer be seen, he became like an intoxicated elephant let loose. He began to jump, and all the cowherd boys jumped and started to dance and were extremely playful. Krishna bloomed of joy. Bloomed means like a flower which blossoms up and shows all its colors. And also the boys felt they were released from the iron chains of the observative glances of the elders. So Krishna jumped forward into the forest, free and restless, and the cowherd boys were dancing. They were singing, they were laughing, they were leaping, they were feeling absolutely ecstatic. They were stumbling over each other. You know, it was so joyful. They didn't look who was in front, and boom, they fell down into the dust and laughed. And they were joking, and they started to play with each other, like one grabbed the cloth of another. And in this way, many things developed. What they also did is, because their kridanti, their playing, was different maybe than the playing of boys in this world, they were absolutely centered on Krishna. So they soon started to imitate Krishna's activities. Like, for instance, how he very obediently stood before Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, looking very obediently, but secretly he was always looking to the gopis. So the cowherd boys stood like this, and then they started to look in the other direction, and everyone had a good laughter about this. Some boys, even to make Krishna feel a little bit embarrassed, they went behind the trees, and then from the trees they took some cloth, you know, and they looked behind the trees like the gopis look at Krishna. And Krishna would look down. He felt a little embarrassed, you know. And then they laughed at him. Others were more of the acrobatic nature. They walked on their hands, feet up. I don't know if someone can do, maybe Deva Shekhar can do, but no need at this moment. and they imitated also the cows. And then some of them started to roll on the ground. Now listen to this. They bent their necks like this so that they could make a perfect circle. But while they rolled, they somehow managed to put their ears up. And this looked so funny that they all laughed, you know. And then many descriptions are there. They were dancing, they were laughing. But all this, very important, is absolutely Krishna-centered. They wanted to please Krishna with all of this. It seems from these and many, many other descriptions that the spiritual world is a world free from anxiety. Oh, very joyful. The Brahma Samhita, you know better than me, describes it as a place where every step is a dance. And what are the words? They are songs. Yes, they are songs. It's not boring like here. Yes, this is the world where Krishna is in the center. This is the world which the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the devotees of Krishna, are entering. But this world, we must understand, is different. And if you want to enter the different world, you must also become different than what you are now. This world in which we are is full of anxieties. Anxieties that we ourselves create for ourselves and for others. I have written down somewhere, yes, a quotation here. It comes from a discussion with one devotee. I cannot tell you his name, I don't know it. This devotee felt his life was full of anxieties, worries, dark clouds covering his natural, joyful spirit. And he said, Prabhupada, what is the devotee's greatest enemy? Why are we like this sometimes? Are you interested in Srila Prabhupada's answer? What is the greatest enemy of a devotee? Any idea? Prabhupada said, he himself is his biggest enemy. Because he is a rascal, he is his greatest enemy. So just get out of this rascaldom and you become your friend. Nobody is enemy. No other person is enemy. You are yourself your enemy. Nobody is your enemy. Ooh, these are words of the Acharya. These are words of Prabhupada which make us thoughtful. We suffer not because of others. We suffer because of our own mind, which is still captured in thought patterns that are not helpful for us, and not and this way we become our own enemy. We destroy our own self. There is one story from Gujarat. It's a folk story about the Patels. The Patels noted that every evening darkness came into their little house, and they couldn't see anything any longer. So one day the Supreme Patel, the older Patel, said, let's fight darkness. So all the strong boys and grown-ups of the Patel family purchased good-sized lathis. These are the bamboo sticks. And when the evening came, they stood before the door, ready to chase away darkness. So the evening came. They did that. It became darker and darker, and they made whoo 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 whoo. But darkness didn't go away. Then one of the Patels went inside the house and said, "It's even darker here. It's even worse here." So they came running into the house, and the whole night they began to beat into the darkness, and there were solid screaming was going on. Ow! And they thought, yeah, we are really getting to give, we give some good beating to darkness. But in the morning, when it became light, they noted they had only beaten themselves. They were bleeding. There was some, we call it the fool's horn in Germany, some, you know, some, I don't know, bumps, or what is it called in English. Because when we don't take responsibility for our own selves, if we always think the mistakes are outside, 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 and fight with the outside circumstances, we will hurt each other. We will hurt the devotees in our society. We will not be kind with each other. We will just quarrel, 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 quarrel. Let us leave this sad subject matter and move forward. So how do we take care of our inner darkness? How do we take care of the problems which are inside? We need to look to the Shastras. We need to look to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We need to look to Srila Prabhupada to find a good process. And really, the process, if you study very carefully how to become your friend and move forward with great, great confidence and great happiness and joy, has two forms. One form is described by Ishvara Puri to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You must remember, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's initiation, he became very, very overwhelmed with symptoms, outward symptoms of God consciousness. And he was dancing, he was singing, he was laughing, although there seemed to be no reason. And he thought, Guru Maharaj, he went one day to his spiritual masters, "Is everything all right? Is this normal?" And Ishvara Puri encouraged him. He said, "Yes, continue dancing and chanting in the association of devotees." No? Then he said other things, and then he made a point which will make you ecstatic. One moment. Yes, here it is. "Saying this, my spiritual master," Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks, "taught me a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. And listen to this. It is the sara, the essence of all the Bhagavatam's instructions. Therefore, he recited this verse again and again." So, the Bhagavatam is a big book. What is it really saying? What is the essence? This was explained by Ishvara Puri to his exalted disciple. And Ishvara Puri, in the process, became so ecstatic that he didn't just say the verse one time. He repeated it multiple times, again and again. Would you like to hear this voice, this verse? "Evam vratasva priyanamakitya jatanurago turtachitta uchai hasatyatoro diti rodgayati unmadavanrityati lokabaya. So, this is the process. Now, listen very carefully. When a person is actually advanced and takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord, who's very dear to him, he's agitated and loudly chants the holy name. He also laughs, he cries, he becomes agitated, and he chants just like a madman, not caring for others. In other words, my dear devotees, the essence of the teachings of the Bhagavatam is become absorbed in the chanting of the holy name, and the result is that you will actually change. You will be so happy, you will laugh, you will cry tears. These are not tears where you need to go to therapy to get them out of your system, your traumatized tears. No, they're happy, very happy tears. You become so moved, no? So moved, and you actually become independent of Facebook. You are no longer dependent on likes of others. This was modern language. You chant not caring for outsiders. You are on your path. You're not dependent. So this, my dear devotees, is the one part of the Bhagavatam. This is the essence. And it's so essential, if you want, that already in the first canto, this is hinted at in verse 1.1.14. Krishna's holy name, Shukadev Goswami says, Krishna's holy name is feared even by fear itself. Fear, another word is kunta in Sanskrit, and kunta means fear, anxiety, you know, all this that doesn't exist in the spiritual world, no? Remember the cowherd voice, no? Krishna's holy name makes you free from your existential anxiety and the resulting fears. Living beings who have fallen into the terrible dangers of repeated birth and death can be immediately freed simply by chanting, even if they do this unconsciously. No? And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, this verse, which is at the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, hints at the apurva phala, the unprecedented result of the Bhagavatam's teachings, which is explained in detail in which canto? Sixth canto, yes. In the sixth canto, which story is there which is so unprecedented and so, who? Ajamil, a sinner, a murderer, who more or less unconsciously, on his deathbed, goes, Narayan! But when you die, you say it in a different way. Not so academic, Narayan. You really... But he didn't mean the real, the original Narayan. This sinful man, he was already 85 years and he had produced a child in his old age. Yes, like a goat. So he was thinking of his child, his boy Narayan, who due to very amazing circumstances was called Narayan by his wife. So but this is something, some other subject. And he was released from the hellish planets. He was released just by chanting even unconsciously, like this verse says, the holy the holy name. And this makes the Bhagavatam stand out from all other Puranas, because this is unprecedented. This means you will not find this explained anywhere else in such details with such a graphic example. No? Because the Bhagavatam wants to make this point that in the chanting everything is there. But the Hare Krishna devotees chant and they are not ecstatic. They quarrel amongst themselves. They are often troubled with anxieties. So are we missing out on something? Are we missing out on something? Prabhu, this is a serious talk. Ask yourself just for a moment, do you love because of ecstatic joy of Krishna consciousness? How often do you do this, where you find Krishna so wonderful? Are you free from anxieties? And when there are anxieties, you say, take it, it will go. Are you tolerant? Are you forgiving? Are you pure, free from any extraneous desires? You should be by now. You're chanting better than Ajamil, no? You're chanting consciously. You went before your spiritual master and he told you 16 rounds and you gave that promise, although you may not keep it now. What is wrong? Listen very carefully now. It might save your spiritual life. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit intense. I have to cool down, but this is something I feel very, very interested about. You need to become mindful of the person whose name you chant. Prabhupada says, and that happens by hearing about Krishna directly from the Bhagavatam and so on, like we did, we read this verse. Prabhupada says, this is compulsory. Those who are not native English speakers like me have to look in the dictionary. What is compulsory? It is absolutely unavoidable. You have to do it. It's, if you don't do it, it's not even a question to not do it. It's compulsory. You can look it up in your own native language. Es ist, in Deutsch, es ist zwingend notwendig. Maybe you can hear from this word, zwingend. That's a heavy vibration, yes. Es ist zwingend. It is compulsory. Compulsory. Zwingend is better. You cannot avoid Krishna Katha. If you avoid, then you are putting yourself in dangerous cycle of birth and death. It is not fiction or whims. It is compulsory, imperative. Everyone should become Krishna conscious. If he doesn't become, then he is risking his life. This was spoken by Prabhupada at a historic moment during the deity installation of Sri Sri Krishna Kaliya in Lautaka, that's on the Fiji Islands. Krishna Katha, hearing very regularly about Krishna, because then only when you do Nam Grahana, when you take the holy name, will you connect the holy name with Krishna, and you will not think of your daily affairs. Let us call it the sub-G market of your mind. No, I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to respond to this email. Oh, my WhatsApp is filled. I have to respond like, why did this devotee look at me with such stern eyes? Did he notice that in the evening I ate pizza? You know, we are so occupied with the sub-G market of our mind that we rarely think about the person whose name we chant. Prabhupada indicated we should chant like a mother chants for, no, wrong, like a child chants for his mother. Now, those of you who are parents, who are mothers, know when the child is busy in other thing, and he says, "Mom, mommy, mommy, you don't need to come." When the child is busy playing, and he murmured, "Mommy, mommy," and so on, you don't need to come. But when the child senses imminent danger and goes, "Mommy," then the mothers will leave their cooking pots, they will leave their women TV, and they will come running to the child to take care. Do you think Krishna is impressed by chanting where you think of so many other things? Do you think he will run to you? Do you think he will manifest in your heart like, "Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Prabhu, what's the news? Ram, Ram. Oh, how long will I do this? When will my friend come by on my motorcycle, and we going to have some fun?" You know, do you think this chanting will bring you anywhere? It is at best namabhas, but most probably, most of the time, nam aparad. So you need to first of all know a little bit more about Krishna, so that when you say Krishna, you remember something. Something comes to your mind. Something occupies you. Something becomes very, very, very good. And this is called now I will have to substantiate my point. Don't worry, you will get now the proofs. There is a book on chanting which Bhaktivinoda Thakur has composed. You have heard the title many times, Hari Nam Chintamani. It describes the conditioned souls. It's described, the main qualities, they have forgotten that they are Lord Krishna's eternal servants, and they are therefore seeking happiness away from Krishna, not in connection with Krishna. Selfish happiness. What they get is, for this, is they become prisoners in Maya and get punishment and so on. But their lives changes at one point. It's a turning point. However, if one of those souls, by a saintly Vaishnava's mercy, understands his relationship with Krishna and then chants Lord Krishna's holy name, then he attains the great treasure of love. This was a lot from the book, so let us hear it from the mouth, in one's own words. So we are forgetful souls, and that's why we are in the prison house of Maya, where we are learning through indirect mercy. Maya is also, one translation is also Maya, but it's indirect mercy. It shows us you can't enjoy separately from Krishna. That we learn with the kicks of Maya. So, but he will be released only by direct mercy, and that is he needs to meet a saintly Vaishnava, and the Vaishnava explains, hey, listen, forgetful soul, listen, 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 you got it all wrong. You're not the body. Who? No. You're not even the mind. No. What then? You are an infinitesimal small part of Krishna, the all-powerful, infinite Lord. Wow, really? Yes. And then you get multiple instructions, and again you hear it. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda says, as long as by the spiritual master's true knowledge of the soul's relationship with Lord Krishna does not arise, the soul will possess the anatta of ignorance, and his chanting of the holy name will be namabhas, not the pure chanting. Yes. So, my dear devotees, now I put it in plain German. You will only have the shadow of the chanting. If you, while chanting, you are not unplugging yourself from the world of Maya, and you are becoming mindful of Krishna by either looking at his form, the deity form, sitting before him, or a picture, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, seeing the Lord. Oh my God, he has a peacock feather. Krishna, look how he smiles. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna. And all of a sudden, as you chant like this, you're chanting, you're dead chanting. You're chanting which bores the whole world, including you, will get life. It's the real name is there. You will think of Krishna, and you will think, Oh my Lord, I left you, I'm really a problem case, but now I'm, for so many long years in the Hare Krishna movement, I didn't get the point. But now I'm turning around, from this day on, I'm your sincere and serious servant, please accept me. Then you chant the real name, then it lives in you, then it enlivens you. No, then it makes you truly enthusiastic. Not enthusiastic because the ladies look how nice you chant. Not enthusiastic because you get likes on your Facebook because you are a famous kirtaniya. No, that is mayik. That is not really encouraging and enthusiastic. You get life not because you get a position. You have a good position. Your life is there because you actually connected with Krishna. I will ask you the question. You have to think about it. I will not accept any answer because the young people will all answer very quickly. The old people will be silent. What if it is true that Krishna is identical with the holy name? I'm not saying it is true. I'm raising a possibility. What if it is true that what you heard in the Bhagavatam so many times, binadvang nama namino, etc. What if that is true also outside the Bhagavatam lecture? Would that change your life? And in what way would it change your life? That if you chant, you're together with Krishna. Would that affect your chanting? Would that maybe affect your priorities, what is more important? Would it maybe affect your entire life? Wow! This is a question you need to think about in seriousness. So two processes are there, and the time is also there. One is chanting the holy name, the other is listening about Krishna's personal pastimes. Because only then will you connect the Yuga Dharma of chanting with Krishna. Only then will you overcome the laziness of the body, the distractedness of the mind, and the indifference which is there in the heart towards Krishna since so long. When you understand this is Krishna. Some of you might know Bhurijan Prabhu and have read his excellent books on the Bhagavatam. Bhurijan Prabhu, and noticed something that many times those who have been chanting for a long time still lack taste, and they struggle with anattas, which makes them very sad, and they have not really developed this Krishna prema what we all hear. And therefore he decided to proactively do something, and he invited several devotees to come and just do something against it. From this effort came a retreat center which is connected with this temple, the Krishna Balaram temple in Govardhan. And in this retreat center there is a facility offered to devotees to maybe take 2 weeks out of their busy life, where they will do two things. They will take a holy name retreat and a focus on chanting, and they will also immerse themselves in listening to the Bhagavatam from learned and qualified teachers. No? And it is seen that devotees who do this feel like a new life coming into them. They feel enthusiastic. Often they get an overview over their lives, which helps them to decide this is important, this can go, this is not important any longer. They get spiritual strength, and they make those breakthrough experiences, which are probably what they really desire in their life. But you don't need to go to a Govardhan retreat to do this. You can start today by really thinking about the holy name, thinking about the instructions of Ishvara Puri. You can obtain good guidebooks on the holy name. There are many available on the ISKCON book market. Where you will learn certain things that help you to overcome what you are personally struggling with. It may be most probably distractedness, that's the big one for us, inattention and so on. No? You can work on this, and simultaneously there is the Bhagavatam and so on. And my dear devotees, if you bring the two together, remembrance of what you heard in the Bhagavatam and the chanting, it's like bringing fire and dynamite together. Alone, they are something. But when they're together, boom, something wonderful happens. Or it's like bringing lemon into the boiling milk and then you get cheese, you know. I'm sorry, I don't want to compose any speculative examples, but it's all about bringing the two together so that you can learn to not stay in the shadow world of Namabhasa, but you get out into the living world of the holy name. Because we have this, I will now have to turn to Dhammatma Prabhu, who is very well aware of what our next program is. What should we do? End here, or can we take one or two questions? Take questions? Good. So, do you have any questions regarding of what you have heard? Yes, I believe, Maharaj, your good name is Brihad Bhagavatamrita Maharaj. Bhakti Brihad Bhagavat Swami. I made up the Amrita, the nectar. Yeah. Please ask your question, Maharaj.
Thank you very much. I don't know how to express this, but I'm fine with it. And English is my first language. I was in the Kamudana Supreme last evening with you here. I was in the corner.
Yes, I saw you.
And I stayed on throughout to your time. And at one point you mentioned something like that. You stopped the kirtan and then you said something like, Srila Prabhupada was behind closed doors and he took his ammonia and he sang a particular melody which you thereafter sang. And then behind closed doors means that Srila Prabhupada was alone, but somehow you were in the room hidden. That's correct, right?
Yes, I'm a little creative, yes.
In other words, you were the only one in the room unseen by Prabhupada. Prabhupada may have known, but you continue. So my query would be something like this, that when Srila Prabhupada chants, whether it's japa or kirtan, alone, that means, of course it's not alone, I'm just using the word alone,
yeah,
in an external point of view. But Srila Prabhupada is with Radha Krishna in his chant, and no one else is there. As much as whether you're serving is with Krishna, and no other so-called human beings and the Kundalini monkeys and their pot and milk and so forth. So, I'm not sure whether I'm expressing this right, but I'll try like this, because sometimes it cannot be expressed. Like I said, I found purified by your class today, and also in the chant last night. So, how is it that one can come to the point of having this relationship with Radha and Krishna and the base chant really mean? Whether it's a japa with attention, mm-hmm, and non-distraction, and for kirtan, and keep in confidential without exposing it in public to others. So that's as you mentioned last night, Kosha. That's my question.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When we approach.
One more thing I just want to say, by its nature, it is confidential.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be like advertised or
yes.
So by its own nature it's like that. But when you said that last time about Srila Prabhupada, I began to find myself on my own.
Yeah.
So anyway,
thank you very much, Maharaj. Your good question has touched upon a few things. Just to get this, to address this, there is a book by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur which says confidential things should not be exposed to the public, just like a light of a which is kept in a wind still place. It should not be put out because then the wind will blow it out. Let me now go to the main point, relationship with Radha and Krishna. We have been warned to not imagine relationships, and we have been warned many times so that that we are sometimes a little bit uncomfortable with this idea, relationship to Radha Krishna. I mean, isn't that sahajiya if we talk about it? These are normal responses because of the very justified warnings. When Bhaktivinoda Thakur here speaks about relationship, he indicates something else. And it is not a rasa yet, it's not yet a rasa filled relationship where you know your rasa and Radha and Krishna reveal themselves appropriately, no? And they reveal themselves to those in parental rasa in one way and those in madhurya rasa in a different way. No. This is for later. Relationship here means just very simple. I am, let me read it to you even. I, an infinitesimal conscious being, am Lord Krishna's eternal servant. Lord Krishna, the all-powerful conscious being, is my only master. And finally, it relationship with this dull and inert material world is a prison house meant to reform me. This is true knowledge of the individual soul's relationship with Lord Krishna. So very simple, the chanter, when he wants to chant in sambandha, in a relationship, he will address the deities he is worshipping. He will maybe pray to the deities, please accept me in your service. He may also from time to time say, oh my Lord, I'm struggling so much with this repeated thought. I cannot get this hurt out of my mind. I cannot get this, please help me to focus on your name. And it is from here that everything comes. It's very interesting if we study Bhakti Sandarbha by Jiva Goswami. I was surprised. I only discovered it a year ago. He there says, if a person considers himself a servant of the Lord, from there everything else will come. That's the entry point. That's, by the way, the entry point in all the various rasa relationship. Mother Yashoda gives her life breath for Krishna. The Shrimati Radhika is thinking really of serving Krishna with everything she has. No, so it's that mood is like the entry mood, and it has to be there in chanting. Therefore, Prabhupada, when he explained to us that we should be mindful of Krishna in our chanting, he gave us this meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra. Please accept me in your service. You might ask, where is this in the Sanskrit commentaries, please? Or where is this Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna? I don't see any seva in the word seva or anything like this. It's the underlying mood that covers the whole existence. I have a relationship. I'm a lost servant. And dear Maharaji, because you are an exalted soul, I will reveal something very personal. I don't know of any better sadhana or easier process than you chant and you just think, Krishna hears me. Krishna hears me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. What I have seen in our temple Goloka Dham, I have given many japa retreats and so on. So the devotees are sitting there and chanting. And I had a late night, so I come a little later in the japa session. I open the door, everyone looks naturally who's in the door. coming through the door, and then they say, oh my God, that's the Swami. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Because they know someone watches them, and I may make a gentleman joke about that chanting in the lecture. Not a very heavy one, a gentleman joke, where the whole temple may laugh at them because I'm using... Swamis have to use different teaching techniques sometimes. When we know that someone comes in whom we have some regard for, we do really better. Imagine, for a Prabhupada disciple, I think there is no better reformatory process than thinking Prabhupada walks into the room and sees, you know, what is going on in the internet screen. Vroom! There we go. You just wouldn't do it. Things and so on. Maybe my example is not a good example. I want the thing is, this helps. Krishna is there, and isn't he there? I mean, don't we hear this? Prabhupada said, I was there in Stockholm. Listen to this. We had a public program. It was free of charge. And all the drunkards knew that there will be free prasadam at the end. So we had these big Hare Krishna festivals, and we invited Srila Prabhupada. He was in London, and he was so kind to take a flight to Stockholm for a few programs which were arranged. And so there are all these drunkards. They don't sit on chairs. They don't sit like you sit on the floor. They just lie there waiting for the good news that there is something to eat, you know. Then Prabhupada sees them and he's all fired up. He says, even if you are a drunkard, if you think that the taste in the wine is Krishna, you will become Krishna conscious. So you can become a great yogi. Prabhus, we have a relationship to Krishna when we drink water. Water. We have a relationship. Since you have asked, this melody, by the way, it is known, it's recorded. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's not that he only sang it in one thing, but I will tell you something which is even more amazing about Srila Prabhupada. So, there was the castle. We all lived in a castle in Germany, and there was the BBT department, and the BBT devotees would translate and produce books, and the Sankirtan devotees would be out. So whenever we needed a guard before Prabhupada's room so that no one would make noise, they chose a BBT devotee, because the BBT people could do their editing work and sit there. So I was chosen. I was editing into German language, the German edit of Life Comes from Life. I was sitting there, and Prabhupada would sometimes walk out of the room and just walk on the veranda before the room. And I would immediately offer my obeisances and start staring at him. But he noticed to me, please, let me have a private moment like this. Don't stare at me, you know. So I... So in that time when I knew Prabhupada was in that private mood, he was not preaching. He was just going with his bee-bag and just looking at things. I decided I want to know how is Prabhupada behind the closed doors. I've also asked this question to Shuddha Kirti. It was my interest. So one day I took all my courage and I climbed up the lightning conductor. Is that an English word? To the you know, it is a wire, thick like this. What? Rod. Lightning rod also. Yes. So I took the help and climbed like a mountain climber up. Then I went over the railing of his balcony. I calculated the time. It was after his meal. I knew he would be in the sleeping room, which was just adjoining the balcony. In other words, he could go out of his sleeping room on the balcony, or, and this was of most interest, anyone on the balcony could look through the window on him resting. So I did this. I wanted to stare a little at him. And so I went on the balcony and I looked, and he was lying there like a child on his left side. His eyes were closed, but his lips were not closed. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. He was resting and at the same time chanting. I listened very carefully. He was actually chanting. Then one eye went up and looked at me. And I knew, oops. I went over the balcony again, took help of the lightning rod, and went down like a squirrel. But I knew, my spiritual master chants Hare Krishna even when all the doors are closed and he's sleeping. He's a Vaikuntha personality. Yes. This is when the chanting is there playing on the clear mirror of the heart, and when it's called the Anahata Shabda, the unstruck sound. It just comes. It just comes on its own. So, yes, my dear devotees, I'm really now over extending the time. Summary of the lecture. Please, Krishna Katha is compulsory. You have to hear it, read it, and so on, so that your chanting can come alive, that you can really chant like a child cries for the mother. Why can the child cry like this? Because the child knows the mother. At least he knows something of the mother. And then it can become alive. I thank you very much. It's so nice to be here. I hope I have expressed everything nicely. I wish you a wonderful day in Vrindavan Dham. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundar ki jai. Shri Krishna Balarama ki jai. Shri Shri Gaura Nitai ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Gaur.